following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Live from Progressive.
First caller.
Hi, I just broke up with my boyfriend.
I think you called the wrong number, but Progressive.com lets you compare our rates with our competitors. So there are other fish in the sea.
Really?
Yeah, you'll find someone.
No, you can really compare rates at Progressive.com.
Wow, you got over that quickly.
Visit Progressive.com to compare rates and start saving today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
When you're running a facility, safety is key. That's why Grainger offers over 70,000 diverse safety products. And that number's growing. Everything from personal protection gear and safety signs to online safety training tools. All to help you reduce injuries and downtime. And keep up with regulations. You might say safety's our middle name. Yep, Grainger, safety, Grainger. You get the idea. Cut back on costs and worries. Call quickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's only local sports call-in show, featuring award-winning sports director Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis. Guests include local and regional sports figures, everyone from Big Ten head coaches and athletes to the top D2 NAIA and high school coaches and athletes. They analyze all sports from pro football to junior hockey. Join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line toll-free at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Email the Den Popper inbox at douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Send us a tweet at ESPN1460-1550. Or send us a Facebook comment, facebook.com/ESPN Superstation. Let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. This 18th day of June, the Doug and Daddy Show with you, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Plenty went on over the weekend. The NBA, College World Series, the U.S. Open, Sertoma 8-Man. Danger came to an end with their football season. And I'm sure many, many other things. And Mitch Sherman's going to join us again from Omaha, ESPN.com, College World Series. Take us to where we are right now. And we'll discuss everything that went on in the first 3 days. Still, two more games today here on ESPN Radio. Getting underway at 4 o'clock, Florida and Kent State and South Carolina. Still, 22 consecutive wins now, I think, in the postseason. And they'll try to make it 23. They play Arkansas in SEC battle, and that's at 8 o'clock. 4-8 again today here on ESPN Radio. Then we get into single games Tuesday and Wednesday, doubleheader again Thursday. That's if there is no precipitation to push back any of the games, and they were pretty lucky to get through all of that over the weekend. And Mitch Sherman's going to join us. Also, Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, wrapped up their second season on Saturday. He's going to join us on the program today. Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis with you on this Monday. It's hot. I know you enjoy it.
Well,
you got a haircut for the occasion.
I did. I got tired of sweating with that mop on top of my head, so I did give myself a little trim. But, Doug, I think it was a weird, weird weekend for the simple fact that in Nebraska, so much of people's attention in the sports scene this time of year, I guess you wait for the College World Series. Omaha supports it better than any place else, I think, in the nation would, and I think that's why the NCAA signed it up. There's over 23,000 people. There's 25,000 people. They're down there. The place is packed. The tailgate scene is incredible from what I understood this weekend. Every year we wait for the College World Series. This weekend, though, with the U.S. Open being in the West Coast time slot, and last night coming down the stretch in the U.S. Open, then you throw an NBA final game on. I got to say, for one of the first times in my life, on this opening weekend of the College World Series, the College World Series was actually a far distant third for what I was paying attention to and for what I was interested in. Maybe I'm the one that's not on top of that. But I'm thinking, oh, yeah, the College World Series is on. Okay, golf, you're going to the NBA game back and forth. If you don't have, if you weren't at an establishment where you had more than one TV and had a nice meal with my father, and happy Father's Day once again to all the fathers out there. So we're doing that, but with only one TV in front of you, it was golf, it was the NBA. Oh, wait, what's that World Series score, too? It was an afterthought. For the first time that I can ever remember in being involved in this show, and even before being involved in this show, because you're so fired up for the College World Series.
And it was UCLA and Arizona, which probably wasn't the most exciting matchup for folks in Nebraska. So there you go. By the way, news just coming down within the last hour. Hastings College has officially named their new head women's basketball coach. And no surprise here that Carrie Hostetter is going to be the new head coach. She was the assistant under Tony Hobson for his time. She graduated from 2004 in Hastings, then was an assistant coach, followed him down to Hayes, and she is going to take over the program beginning on July 1st. She was at Fort Hayes for 4 years and was with Hastings College before they moved on. And what a heck of a player she was. First team All-Conference, NAIA National All-Tournament team 3 years in a row, GPAC Defensive Player of the Year as a senior, and so many other awards. And we'll be getting her on the show as well. And I think Mike Will might be joining us here in a few minutes to discuss that. But Carrie Hofstetter, the new women's basketball coach at Hastings College. Getting back to what you were talking about, though, Daddy, a little bit of pitching. And Stony Brook was wide-eyed Friday. That was the bottom line, and they were not good enough yesterday. They had a chance, I thought, on Friday against UCLA, but the lights got in their eyes. You could tell they were nervous. They didn't get out of that first inning. It's 5-0. Then they have the bases loaded in the second, a chance to get back into it with one out. Can't get anybody across. The game was over right there. Stony Brook was not in any inning of any game in the College World Series, which is unfortunate.
Well, yeah, Cinderella got punched in the face, and I think that's one thing. When you get a team that's on a whirlwind, and Tom Chattel's got a great article today that says this title is Seawolves Hit the Stony Wall in Omaha Too Soon. And he talks about, you know, being excited and all the whirlwind tour that it took to get here and all the excitement in taking a team to Baton Rouge, winning those games. And you get to Omaha and the excitement level, and then all of a sudden – you get a microphone jammed in front of your face and you're asked to summarize the season. It was in one paragraph on the 10th page of the World Herald today. And the Coach Sink saying, you know, you didn't really know what to say. It all happened so fast. Any time a team like this, and there's going to be more and more of these teams, and they talk about this, you can't get the players that used to play the game. I mean, when you think of Pete Incaviglia and the power and people like that. When you think of Dan Johnson, Matt Hopper, with the way the bats used to be, you can't outscore people. These games are coming down so close, so it forces you to play defense. It forces you to hit and run. It forces you to steal bases. The games are so close, you make a play or don't make a play, more and more of these Cinderella teams will have an opportunity to advance to Omaha. Now, talent-wise, yeah, they're eliminated by some of the talent. I think you saw that yesterday. Florida State just saying, we're better than you. Man on man, we're going to take over this game. And they dominated that game.
Well, great pitching performances yesterday. And Arizona only scored in one inning in their win against UCLA. And Mike Compton did the job for Florida State. He could have been in there longer, as Coach Martin said. But it's 9-0. And there's no need to keep him in there. They hope to be around for quite a while. And Connor Wade did the job with a 5-hit shutout against UCLA. Nick Vandertag did a good job for UCLA. But I mean, it was a no-hitter going into the fourth inning, and all of a sudden, dink, 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 and then a double, and that was the only extra base hit in that whole run. So, College World Series, Mitch Sherman's going to join us here in our next segment to talk about that. Arizona now in the winner's bracket final in the first bracket. UCLA and Florida State play tomorrow. The winner will have to beat Arizona twice to advance on to the championship round, which gets underway Sunday, and again, every game of the College World Series right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy, also the U.S. Open yesterday, there were so many storylines, as there always are, but I knew when it was happening, Jim Furyk was costing himself hundreds of thousands of dollars. I said at the moment on 18, you gotta tell me that the pressure got to him, and I found that hard to believe. He hit a couple of shots that made me look average. I mean, the tee shot on 16 that he hooks into the trees, and of course they don't say, but I mean, the tee shot must have went 130 yards after it bounced back, because he pitches out, and he's still three, I mean, the pitch out's 100 yards down the fairway, and he's still 340 out for his third shot. But then to put in the bunker, I mean, the key is to get that wedge on the green and have a chance at a birdie and to throw it in the bunker. And then, of course, he's got to go for the chip in, and that doesn't work. And it cost him, I'll bet, $400,000 looking at the payout between second and third. Not between winning and third, but between second and third.
The thing that I haven't heard one person talk about, and after the tournament, the players talked about it on 16, the tee shot. When they moved the thing up 100 yards from, no one knew that before. Don't rumors start flying and it get back to the, when you're hitting balls warming up for your round, doesn't somebody say?
Everybody knows that. There's a pin sheet. There's a sheet that comes out. There's your yardage book every single day. They know before they tee off that the 16th hole is 570 yards.
Well, it was like a big surprise. He didn't know what to hit, he said. He goes, we'd never played there before. I mean, wouldn't you have went over that with your caddy and had a game plan down the stretch for that? I was a little bit surprised by the shock that he seemed to be in the amazement of, you know what, I tried to take a three-wood, I tried to hook it around the corner. It was a terrible shot.
He's a pro. It was a bad shot. We swing over to Hastings, where Mike Will, voice of the Broncos, has returned from the morning press conference where Kerry Hofstetter has been named the new women's basketball coach. Mike, good morning. No surprise here, it sounds like. This might have been in the works for quite some time.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer and a great hire, I think, for Jerry Schmutty. His first hire as the new athletic director at Hastings College, with Jeff Dittman announced his retirement earlier this month. I think everybody's eyes in the media and even on campus really turned their attention toward a possible hire of Kerry Hofstetter. And she comes back here today and going to take over her alma mater.
Mike, I want you to go back to Coach Dittman deciding to go back home a little bit. Were you surprised by that, or the timing of it, or anything involved, or that's just when it happened and he went home?
I think the timing was right for him, because when we finished the national tournament this year, we had a very good conversation following the national tournament. He was looking forward to next year, and he had some great recruits that he brought in. And obviously the cup board is not going to be empty for Kerry Hofstetter to take over the program, but he was looking forward to next year. And I think the timing of just the pieces kind of fell into place for Jeff to return to Dakota State. I think the same situation is true here in Hastings. The pieces just kind of fell into place for Kerry to come back to Hastings.
Yeah, Mike, this wasn't a big national search. Athletic Director Schmutty just coming in. Dittman leaves like 2 days after he officially takes over. How much did Jerry Schmutty know Kerry Hofstetter, and how much was this just the, for lack of a better term, the established brass already knowing how good a hire she would be?
I think Jerry knew Kerry Hofstetter maybe as a player and certainly as an assistant coach when she was helping the Broncos with Tony Hobson. He mentioned at the news conference today they had 46 applications for the job without even advertising the job. So obviously a lot of interest. He said there was some national type coaches that we saw down at the national tournament with good winning records in their programs interested in the job. He actually talked in depth to six different people, but his first contact was with Kerry Hofstetter. In fact, we know for a fact that he was in Hayes, Kansas right after Jeff Dittman announced his resignation a week ago. He made the trip to Hayes, Kansas and actually talked to Kerry one-on-one on her own ground, so to speak, down in Hayes, and I think it was a no-brainer when he came back that he knew that Kerry Hofstetter was the best person for the job.
Obviously, Tony Hobson had such an impact there, and obviously his legacy, he turned that over to Jeff, and Jeff carried it on. You mentioned the cupboards aren't bare. this team's a national title contender already next year, aren't they, Mike?
Yeah, Jeff was talking about that. Like we said, even at the end of last year's national tournament, and he feels they had a great recruiting class. Several players are coming in next year, and I think they will be very, very good. But also, we look in the conference of the GPAC, and you guys well know it's tough every single game. So Kerry will have her hands full, but she talked about returning Hastings, what we were back when Coach Hobson was here, and she says that's all she knows. In fact, she used those words. That's all I know is the way they played back when they won the national championships in 2002 and 2003. So I expect the team to play much like they did under Coach Hobson. Going back to the hire, Jerry Smutty, first of all, called Tony Hobson and asked his permission to talk with his assistant coach. He said that, and Tony, I guess, granted the permission to talk with Kerry, and then from there on out, it was an easy hire for Jerry Smutty for his first hire.
She's in the Hall of Fame as an individual and as a member of those national championship teams. I guess I know you got to get going, Mike, so last question here. Did she touch on, or with you working with her as an assistant, can you tell what she may do different than what Tony and the Hastings fans were used to?
To be honest with you, what you saw with Coach Hobson, I think, as a head coach at Hastings College, it'll be a carbon copy. It'll be an exact carbon copy, I believe, of what we saw when they were here together before.
Did you get your RV this weekend?
No. but I'm working on it, buddy. I'm working on it.
All right. I know you got another interview, so we'll let you go. Thanks, Michael.
All right. See you, bud.
Mike Will, voice of the Hastings Broncos. Joining us here is Kerry Hofstetter, named the new head women's basketball coach at Hastings College. And on the surface, you would think that would be a great hire, good, young, energetic female coach coming in, which they haven't had in quite a while at Hastings College, obviously. Sandy Creek girl from Edgar knows the area and knows what it's like to win. As she said, that's all she does know, and probably got a taste of what it's like to not win when they started at Hayes, because it was a little rough road, but they're starting that in the right direction again. But Kerry Hofstetter returning home, she'll take over the program at Hastings College.
Yeah, it sounds like you make that first initial phone call if you're the athletic director and it's to Hayes, Kansas, and you know your coach. I mean, it's one of those kind of seems to be a no-brainer.
How about that? 46 applications without even saying that we're looking for somebody officially.
Well, it's so much different. I think you can go down, pick another college that doesn't have the tradition, doesn't have. I mean, you get into a program at the NAIA level like Hastings, with the national champions, with the Lynn Farrell Arena, there's just a lot of advantages other schools don't have for being small college and to bringing kids on campus to say, hey, this is pretty darn nice. I would like to go here and okay
and dominate. Yeah,
yeah, and win.
We win and it's nice here.
You can't go wrong, really.
Get a good education. So we will effort Coach Hofstetter here in the next day or two and have her as well on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch Sherman coming up. He will be joining us from ESPN.com, talk College World Series. Mike Davis, talk Nebraska Danger Football. Daddy, there was so much going on this weekend. I had to go to the chicken coop not only to cool down with a frosty beverage or an ice-cold Coke or a Dr. Pepper, which I like to have with lunch, or just an ice-cold water while you're enjoying all the great meals. And again, tonight, College World Series is on. You've got NBA playoffs tomorrow. Why not? Chicken coop place to be, Kearney and Grand Island.
Well, they feel bad because the Seawolves have knocked out, and they were the official sports bar of the Tri-Cities for the Stony Brook Seawolves. But nonetheless, they've got great lunch specials Monday through Friday. Catch the early games. They've got them on along with all the horse racing. They've always got the horse racing channel on. The Chicken Coop Kearney and Grand Island. Plus Mondays means bull fries and fries, $5.99 every Monday night. Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney, downtown Grand Island. They're waiting for you. The games are waiting for you. The drink specials are waiting for you. The lunch specials are waiting for you. You can't go wrong. The Chicken Coop, Kearney, Grand Island.
Back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Looking for a permanent office for your home business but still have budget limitations? Or maybe you want to grow your business into a new market but you're scared to make a move in this economy? Let me save you from your worries. Get a Regis virtual office. It provides all the benefits of a full-time office without the expense of one. You'll have a prestigious business address to call your own, an on-site receptionist to provide unlimited call answering, access to meeting rooms, and use of a private office. There is a reason why over 50% of Fortune 500 companies use Regis, because they have officing solutions you need. So reduce your risk, not your potential. Call Regis, the new way to work. Find out how easy it is to set up your virtual office, either around the corner or around the world, contact Regis today and get 2 months free. Go to Regis.com/Cowherd. That's Regus.com/Cowherd. Or call 1-800-OFFICES. That's 1-800-OFFICES.
Sir, where are our brochures?
I sent them out. They needed more smiley faces.
Sir, let's just send them to Copycat Printing. They do everything right there.
You mean they do everything on site from start to finish?
They sure do. From design right on up to production, everything is done right there, so there's no middleman.
So, I guess I could forget about the kitty stickers.
Yeah. 21st and Avenue A across from Chicken Coop and Kearney. Visit CarneyCopycat.com. Like us on Facebook for helpful hints with your printing. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Stalagnev, 29 seconds away from a trip to London.
Hey guys, this is Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach, along with the Kearney businesses. We are very proud to announce that Tervell Stalagnev, a UNK graduate, has made the 2012 Olympic wrestling team. To honor him and his great accomplishments, he will be making a personal appearance at the Hilltop Mall and signing autographs outside the Sporting Edge from 1 to 3 and then Center Court outside Sports Village from 3 to 4. Join us in showing our support for Tervell, a UNK Olympian, on Sunday, June 24th at the Hilltop Mall, brought to you by Sporting Edge, Sports Village, GNC in the Hilltop Mall, Nelson's Furniture on the Bricks, Doberstein Roofing, Detterdings, Kling & Smith Chiropractic, and Platte River Radio, all of Kearney. As a community, we are very proud to have one of our own representing us at the 2012 Olympics. This is a great honor for Tervell.
Zolodnev, pack your bags for London.
Nobody likes surprise repair charges. That's why you should trust the certified technicians at Autotech Specialists of Kearney. When Aaron, Scott, and Todd put their heads together, there's almost a half century of experience to solve most problems. Autotech Specialist is a Napa Auto Care Center. Most repairs are warranted for 12 months or 12,000 miles, and every vehicle receives a free safety inspection. Surprise? Now you can take your vehicle to Autotech Specialist at 25th and Avenue I for no surprises. Find out all about ATS on Facebook.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway treats the needs of each individual customer with great concern, and they know that you have high expectations, and as a new car and used car dealer, they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those expectations each and every time. So let them demonstrate their dedication to excellence, and folks, the finance staff at Midway will get you a low-interest automobile loan by working with a network of their lenders. They make the customer's dreams of owning a Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram a reality. Receive an automobile loan that you can afford by filling out their secure online finance application. It's all there for you. It's hassle-free. It's thinkmidway.com. It is so many ways for you to save. Check them out on Facebook. Always check them out online for great deals. Maybe you just need a little work done on your current vehicle. They're there for you. The Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Also, coming up at the end of the program today, major announcement. I'd say it's the biggest announcement the Doug and Daddy Show have ever had, Daddy.
I don't know about that.
I'd have to say it is. I don't know what a bigger announcement will be than the announcement that we will be making at the end of today's Doug and Daddy Show. I mean, we've never predicted anything, right? This is actual fact coming up at the end of the program. And we head back to Omaha. TD Ameritrade is where he is bunked out from ESPN.com. Mitch Sherman joins us again this morning. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning. Now I've heard 10 seconds of your show, and you've got me curious what's going on. You'll have to call me later today and fill me in on the big news.
It probably will be on blogs across Nebraska, and I know will affect many shows and many radio appearances in the metro area.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great, and we've been watching a little bit of baseball. We've seen some pretty good pitching performances, but I want to start with Stony Brook. That's where everybody's starting. It just seemed like they finally the stage was a little too big. Did you get that sense in Game 1 on Friday?
I thought so. I thought yes, and even into the game yesterday. I think that as much as the competition had to do with it, it was everything that's gone on with Stony Brook over the last 2 weeks, catching up to its players, the travel. They've been on the road for 12 straight days before they got home early last week. Went straight from Miami to LSU without making it back to New York. And after the LSU Super Regional, I think it really set in what they had done. They were really playing great baseball, as we know, down in Baton Rouge. And I think if they had been able to maintain that level of play, Stony Brook would probably still be here in Omaha. And if not, certainly would have played closer games in the first two rounds. But as often happens with the College World Series, and when you've been on the road for three consecutive weekends, some of the external factors start to take a toll. And I definitely saw that early in the opening game, and really it stuck with that kind of mentality. I think stuck with Stony Brook throughout the 18 innings here.
Mitch, obviously, I think people lose track that these are a lot of 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and this deal was a whirlwind, and it goes by so fast. In the final interview, do they know, when will they figure out how damn special and cool this deal the last 3 weeks was, even though they bowed out two games?
I think they talked about that a little bit after the game. They were asked that question, and it's hard to know exactly how they feel. They seem to think that they understood what they experienced here. But I think you're right. I think it's so much of a whirlwind that until they get back to New York and they sit down as a team and discuss what happened and talk about moving on and working with the guys who were coming back, I think at that point they'll recognize it for what it was and the disappointment will be far overshadowed by the excitement of just the history that they made for their school. And it's hard to realize right after a loss when you're going home from the national championship event, but a couple days later it's much more in perspective, I think.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Arizona is the team that has started off 2-0, but I'm not sure that they're any kinds, not even shoulders, let alone heads and shoulders above UCLA or Florida State. I think anybody can come out of that. What's your thought on the three teams that remain in that bracket?
I think on any day, those teams are fairly even, especially the two Pac-12 teams. I'm not sure about Florida State and how Mike Martin's club is built for this stadium. We've had a little bit of unusual weather, not so much with the rain and the temperatures, but the wind patterns have been slightly different this year, I think, at TD Ameritrade. The sample is small from what you're going to see at this park, but Creighton's played there enough, and we had the College World Series last year to know that generally the wind is not going to be blowing out. It looks like it's going to be usually coming in from right field, but it's been more of a westerly breeze, south-southwest, and it's allowed some balls to fly out to left field that normally won't. And that's going to help Florida State because they're a team that scores runs in bunches, as we saw in the Super Regional against Stanford. And if this becomes a smaller ballpark, which is unlikely as the week goes on, at least plays like a smaller ballpark, then I like Florida State's chances to stick around. If things kind of stabilize with the conditions, and it's supposed to be about 100 degrees today, so we're really getting into some tough weather, I think Florida State will bow out pretty quickly, and we're going to be left with those two Pac-12 teams. I would have said UCLA was stronger coming in, but you put Arizona at 2-0 in that driver's seat, and with the starting pitching that team has and the way those guys are feeling it in that lineup, even they had limited opportunities last night against UCLA, but when they got their chance in that fourth inning, they put five hits back-to-back-to-back and scored four runs, and that was more than enough than Connor Wade, the starting pitcher, needed. I have to go with Arizona at this point in that bracket because they've saved their pitching. Kurt Heyer, their ace, could come back on Thursday if Coach Lopez wants to do that, and if not, he would certainly be there Friday. And UCLA or Florida State is going to be deep into its pitching staff by that point. So the Wildcats, I think I'd say right now this is their year. They're going to get back to the finals for the first time in about 25 years. So that's exciting for those people in Tucson.
And Mitch, UCLA or Florida State, who do you think has the deeper pitching staff, somebody that's going to have to win three straight games if they want to get to the finals?
No doubt UCLA to me. Florida State has good starting pitching at the top with the two freshmen, and those guys have gone now. And the depth in the pitching staff is not with Florida State what it is with UCLA. They've had a great, and that's how UCLA has made its run. They built their team They've got David Berg, the freshman, back there in the bullpen to anchor things. He didn't pitch last night, which is like one of the most unlikely events that you'll find at UCLA. The guy pitches in every game, but they saved him last night. And I like UCLA's pitching depth a lot. I think if there's a team suited here to make a run through the loser's bracket, other than Florida, which has the deepest pitching staff in the country, I think it's UCLA. So I think those two teams, Florida and UCLA, are going to come back and make some noise through the loser's bracket.
Have you checked tracked down Charlie Liebrandt yet?
You know, he was supposedly around when Brandon was pitching in the opening game on Friday, and no, I did not. I heard some people in the press box talking about getting to him, and he was coming in with a swarm of Florida State fans and got lost in the mix. And if it gets to the point where Brandon is pitching again later in the series, if Florida State beats UCLA and advances and he gets back on the mound, you know, he's their ace pitcher as a freshman. I would love to talk to him. It was fun for me just watching Brandon pitch with that tall, lanky, left-handed delivery. It was like I was watching, you see the name, and it made me reminisce about some mid-1980s Royals games and thinking I'm, watching the Royals, go for a World Series championship in 1985. It's just incredible to think it's been that long since, Charlie Liebrandt was pitching in Kansas City and that he's got a son at the College World Series. But I would love to meet him. That would be a thrill for me to meet Charlie Liebrandt. So from that standpoint, I hope Brandon gets back on the mound.
It's really amazing that we've talked this much college baseball, and yet South Carolina has not been brought up. What they've been able to do, 22 in a row, and to keep continually rolling on in postseason games, to say a team, well, they're built for the postseason, or they're not that much better than everybody else. How do they keep winning?
No, they're barely a national seed. They were the 8th seed here, lost several SEC series. But when it comes, when those lights come on and it's the postseason, they have an unbelievable amount of confidence. They rely on the veterans who've been here, the guys in the dugout like Eric Payne who weren't big role players or who weren't big factors in the last national championship or the last two national championships. They've seen it from close up, and they get and he gets up there in the middle of a big inning on Saturday night and gets a 3-run bases clearing triple that just takes the life out of Florida. They have it's like a dynasty type of thing. This is like they're getting close to surpassing really what Oregon State did a few years ago. Although Oregon State had that unbeatable aura about them during those back-to-back national championships, and it just seemed like they were on a different level, especially with their confidence when they got out there on the field against whomever it was. And South Carolina has matched that and has done that for 2 years, and here they are back a third year looking like they're ready to do it again. I like South Carolina's chances against Arkansas today, and you put them at 2-0 in that winners bracket. And I'm sorry, nobody's going to beat them back to back nights. If they win tonight, I think they're back in the championship series. So it's incredible what they're doing. I mean, you got to go back to Rod Dedeaux and USC from 40 years ago, long before I was around to watch the College World Series, to have any kind of a run like what South Carolina is capable of doing with this team. And who knows? I mean, this program, it's not like this is a flash in the pan and they're slowing down. Ray Tanner has got some magic working in Columbia and in Omaha. It's like a second home to the Gamecocks.
Arkansas and South Carolina met 3 times this year. Every game was within 3 runs. South Carolina took 2 of the 3 from Arkansas, and they're a slight favorite. And we already heard Mitch talk about how Florida should take care of Kent State and has a chance to come all the way back through. You touched on it just a little bit earlier, Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com. We don't have all the stories now about the newness of the new ballpark. It's the second year. It looks like we've had good crowds. What's it been like through the first weekend of the series?
Much better than last year. Last year, I just didn't feel like it was the College World Series. The teams were the same. The competition was good, but inside the stadium was okay. But outside the stadium was just kind of a mishmash. It was all over the place. There wasn't a lot of organization. People were wandering around, didn't know where to go. Very much lacking in atmosphere last year. A night and day difference this year. I'm sure it will continue to improve in future seasons, but it's been great to see how that area outside the stadium has become a lot more structured in what's going on. There's a fantastic-looking restaurant and bar called The Blatt, right across Mike Fahey Boulevard from the right field porch. And that you can't get into that place at any time of day. It's just jammed. It's a couple of levels, and there's a Zesto's in that same building. The souvenir stands are look to be doing a good business. You know, the stuff across the street from home plate is busier this year. I really like the feel outside the stadium this year in comparison to last year. And I walked around some on Saturday night outside, you know, around the concourse, in the stadium, and then outside the stadium too, in the middle of the Florida South Carolina game, and the atmosphere. You know, while it's different than it ever was at Rosenblatt, I mean, you couldn't have that experience at Rosenblatt of just walking around the entire stadium and still see the game and then go outside. And even when you're outside the stadium, you almost feel like you can see the game. There's TVs all over the place. You can hear the crowd. You're right there by the wall back into the stadium. It's much different than it was at Rosenblatt, but it's really starting to develop an identity and a good atmosphere. I like the changes in the just the feeling of the venue that we've had over year one at TD Ameritrade.
Last question I've got, Mitch, is in this game two today, the partisan crowd, they've sold a lot of hats with roosters on them down there. Nebraska fans love the hats with roosters on them. But then you've got Van Horn. Who's the crowd cheering for today?
I don't think the Omaha faction of the crowd is going to be real partisan one way or the other. I think, like you mentioned, there are people who want Dave Van Horn to succeed, and I think if he wins this game and Arkansas wins this game, people are really going to jump on that bandwagon and root for Van Horn when they see that he's got a legitimate chance to win a national championship. I think that would be exciting for a lot of people in Nebraska to see. But South Carolina has won over a lot of fans over the last couple of years in Omaha. I really can't say that I see you know, the majority of people, hometown people, getting behind one of those programs. I think it'll just be a kind of split down the middle, and then in the winner of that game, we'll probably win over a lot of support of the people who were on the fence.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. That's two Mondays in a row on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll probably have him next Monday as well to talk about the championship, because that's what he does. And great article on letting Rosenblatt bleed. Loved that. I read the whole thing, Mitch. Thanks so much. And last thing before I let you go, if you see Bishop getting a Gatorade or something today, tell him that's enough with the Bobby Brown, my prerogative, okay? That's enough of that. Quit it. Don't do it anymore. Just leave it alone. He's not a rapster. He's not a hipster.
I will pass along the message.
Mitch, enjoy the baseball. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. From ESPN.com, even Coogler lit him up last night. Just, and Bishop goes, well, it's the only song I know, my prerogative. That'd be right up your alley. Mitch Sherman, great stuff. Go to ESPN.com. Check out all the articles from Mitch and the gang in Omaha as they cover the College World Series right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN.com, a place to be. And again, big news coming your way at the end of the show today. Also, Mike Davis is going to join us here in just a moment. Good baseball, though, I think, so far, Danny. And I think the big thing is year two, it's quickly moving on. Yeah, I could get the feel that it was a way better weekend than last year first weekend. And one more thing, you're talking about Arkansas, South Carolina. It's Monday. The crowd can't be as large as it was over the weekend, I wouldn't believe. And it's 8 o'clock on a Monday night in Omaha. So you got to wonder how much outside there will be there.
Yeah, I think, though, that there was so much focus on the newness of everything last year, and that's what everybody was focused on. Now it's back to baseball and the way it should be. The focus on the kids, the teams, the players that are there.
Well, you see what happened, by the way. You've seen the pictures from Rosenblatt, what it looks like now as they're ready to tear it down. Just barren and weeds and must thistle, and it just looks terrible. Well, that's because they pulled the TNL pivot out of the outfield. I mean, you quit playing ball there, TNL is gone. That's probably what your field looks like if you don't have TNL working for you. Make the money today, because ever since the Dust Bowl days of the 30s, Nebraska farmers have been taking care of their land. And since 1968, they've been improving their production through the use of pivot irrigation. And farmers who use TNL pivot irrigation systems are continuing to improve their land use and water application efficiency. Their hydrostatic power delivers smooth, even water distribution by eliminating eliminating the uneven spoking pattern common to electrically powered pivot systems. Discover the TNL difference today, folks. It's not too late to have one in your field to help you out during these scorching days of the 2012 summer, and they'll be there for you for a lifetime. See your local TNL dealer throughout Central Nebraska, or visit the website if you don't know who your dealer is, TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works.
Hi, it's the Herd. Figuring out postage for your letters and packages can be a hassle. Either waste money adding extra stamps to make sure your mail's sent, or you waste your time going to the post office to have a clerk figure it out for you. Use Stamps.com instead. You buy and you print official U.S. postage, the real thing, using your own computer and your own printer. Stamps.com gives you a digital scale. Just plug it into your computer, weigh your letter or package, and the exact amount of postage automatically appears on your screen. Stamps.com. Use it once, you'll never give it up. Right now, they've got a special offer just for you. Use my first name, Colin, C-O-L-I-N, for a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer. That includes a digital scale and $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic top of the homepage. Type in Colin. That's Stamps.com. Enter Colin.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies wanted to play pool. The other wanted to go grab a bite to eat. And me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So, to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food, and of course, the coldest beer in town. So problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies across the area today as we warm into the upper 90s, with winds turning to the north at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy as we cool back to 72, southeast winds around 10 to 20.
Right now, it's 84.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to vote on our poll question. Over the weekend, who are you most rooting for in the College World Series? 45% said Stony Brook, 40% said Arkansas, way less for South Carolina and Kent State. Your question of the day today, is LaDainian Tomlinson a Hall of Famer? Yes, on the first ballot. Yes, not on the first ballot. No. Daddy, is LaDainian Tomlinson a Hall of Famer? I'm going to go yes, not on the first ballot.
See, I don't know
who's up in the class.
Yeah, I don't know LT's, you know, where he stacks up all time, you know, and things like that. I'd have to study
some statistics.
Top 10
rusher, right? Top 10 rusher, and obviously the most touchdowns in a single season.
If you're a top 10 rusher, no matter how, yeah, that's when you won fantasy football, wasn't it?
That was so awesome. What's that guy's name that's in fantasy football that picked Carson Palmer ahead of him? That was awesome.
I didn't realize he was that far up as far as all-time rushers. If you're in the top 10, I would have to say, hell yes, your first ballot all Hall of Famer, undoubtedly. But
be interesting. He was a likable guy too. I guess I'm surprised he's retiring. He just doesn't seem that old to me.
He's fifth all time. I would say no. How old is he?
32.
See,
your longevity of your career is going to hurt you.
And he's with the Jets. It's always fun there.
Well, it's always colorful language.
Yeah, when he makes a comeback, he'll probably start in Grand Island with the Danger. Mike Davis, head football coach of the Danger, joins us here. Michael, how's it going? Good morning.
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always appreciate chatting a little Danger football. The season comes to an end, and I guess why not have it end like it was most of the season, coming down to the wire one way or the other, 42-38 at Cedar Rapids. But what was the mood of the team? Neither team was going for a playoff berth, and it was a chance to kind of have some fun, I'm guessing, in the last game of the year.
You know, the mode of the team was pretty good. You know, everybody knew that they were – a lot of these guys were fighting for jobs for next year, and they understood that. And so we played hard. Well, unfortunately, we just had some injuries. You know, we lost our tailback. We lost a DB. So I had Jamil Sewell, our backup quarterback, playing corner and safety for us, and which he did a phenomenal job. It's just, you know, when you get in situations like that against, you know, some teams that have some good athletes, it definitely makes it tough on you.
MVP of this year, is there an overwhelming choice that's not even close in your mind as far as your team and as far as the league goes too?
I mean, yeah, obviously the MVP of the league is going to be Chris Dixon, but the MVP of this team is got to be Kane Fulkerson from Miami. I mean, the kid has just showed up to work every day. I mean, he's more like the life of the team, always talking, you know, but he backs it up. So, you know, he has my vote.
We're talking with Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger. Now that the season has passed, obviously every coach wants more wins. It doesn't matter if you won one game or if you won 13 games. You want more wins. Two more wins this year than last year. We've talked throughout the season how, four or five? I mean, it was possible to win four or five more games because of the less than a touchdown difference on the wrong side here. What are your thoughts after year two?
A lot of positives to grow on. You know, people forget that this is actually my first year actually coaching the team. Last year we had a little hiccup and I wasn't able to coach. So, you know, five wins, not happy with it, but it's definitely progress and it's something to build on for next year.
The biggest glaring weakness you have right now as you look back at this season?
Kicker. Our kickers, we struggled all year in the kicking game. You know, we have to get better, and there's so many games that can be won and lost from the kicking game that we have to go out and get a good kicker.
Obviously, just within the last 2 weeks, you and the Bosselmans came to terms that, hey, you want to be back, you want to coach this team next year. How important is it to have that behind you and you can concentrate on the business at hand?
You know, it's really important for me. I mean, you know, I knew I was going to be in Grand Island, but it's more so just to keep the other coaches off my back. I was getting calls and emails daily from coaches asking if I was going to be here and can they join my staff, and it was just, it just takes a toll on you. Like, look, you know, so I talked to the Bosselmans and they were, you know, we talked about it briefly, and he was like, let's just get it out of the way and move forward. So
what, When you're looking at a team like this, the turnover rate on these teams is just pretty big. How many players do you expect back for sure for next year off of this team?
I'll have probably 12 to 13. We actually had a really good core group of guys this year that I would like to keep and moving forward. Most of them have said they want to come back. I mean, I have about eight guys, I think, that are actually getting apartments here in Grand Island and getting jobs and want to just stay here and train in the offseason. So definitely a step up from last year.
Mike, is there any place between now and next year that some of your guys might go and play some football? Is anybody ready for the next level or do you know at this point?
Yeah, you know, Kane is actually getting a lot of interest from the Jacksonville Jaguars as we speak. So him, you know, I lost a receiver to the CFL. There's a couple of the guys, Michael Antarossi, a defensive end that I got 2 weeks ago. I think he's going to Edmonton in the CFL. Daniel Libre's getting some Winnipeg and Saskatchewan CFL looks. So there's about four or five guys that are getting serious, legitimate looks. Whether they pan out, that will be up to their agents and things like that. But, you know, we have some good quality, good character kids here this year.
Is the CFL the next logical step to advance to? Obviously, just jumping to the NFL, that to me would be a pretty big jump. But is CFL the next logical place for a lot of these guys?
Yeah, you know, us and the AFL are pretty much on the same level. You know, the CFL is a good outlet for a lot of these guys. The problem is the CFL, you get into the American, the import, and the Canadian players. You know, you can only have so many American non-import players, and so that makes it tough. But you know, you get a couple guys like Kane. Kane could go outside, and the outdoor game actually benefits him more because there's more space, because he's a smaller guy that's a faster guy. You know, besides that, you know, Ryan Moore probably gonna get some interest from some CFL teams. He also played at Miami with Kane. So, realistically, the CFL is the next jump for a lot of these guys, just because it's hard, like you said. I mean, it's a different world going from college to the NFL, but, you know, and then from an indoor game to the outdoor game in the NFL as well.
Last minute here with Nebraska Danger football coach Mike Davis. Mike, what's next now? How long do you have a break? How soon do you go in to start trying to find guys for next year? What happens over the next month or so?
I've been looking at guys for the past couple weeks for next year, actually. I actually just got put in charge of the Chuck Bosselman Memorial Scholarship golf tournament August 17th. So I'm going to work on that for, you know, a month and a half, kind of get away from football for a minute, watch some playoff games, and then get back to the grind right after that. So, you know, I'll take a couple weeks off and do some recruiting, some guys that I want to get back and get the guys that are here re-signed back already for next year, and find a way to get that out of the way.
Well, why don't you get out of the way? What's going on the Chuck Bosselman Golf Tournament? You want to give us a date, and if people want, people are interested.
Yeah, it's August 17th at Riverside. It's $125 a golfer, includes a steak and shrimp dinner. They're having a charity poker tournament afterwards. We're getting tons of good quality prizes. You know, one of the things that happened when I got put in charge of it is you get a lot of golf tournaments that get some decent prizes, but. You know, we're trying to give away, I know we're giving away a car, some big screen TVs, a lot of golf stuff, just so it'll be fun to, just to, in remnants of Chuck Bosselman. You know, when he was on the golf course, he had a blast with all of his guys. So basically it's going to be called the Dumb and Diet Golf Tournament, Chuck Bosselman Memorial Golf Tournament, because he always drank Bacardi and Diet, and he called it Dumb and Diet. So, it'll be a good time.
Well, keep us posted, Mike. We'll get the word out there for you, and we always appreciate the time you gave us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll talk football again soon. Enjoy your summer.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Mike Davis, all our guests taken care of by our friends at BK. On a warm day like this, try lunch on the lighter side with their chicken, apple, and cranberry garden fresh salad or a real fruit smoothie or frappe to go along with it. It is BK, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Speaking of football, Sertoma game, West has won 5 in a row. Daddy, remember them when we didn't think they would ever win a game? They've won 5 in a row, and they're still down 19-16 in the series. But actually, we were talking about Colin Janicek, who had a good game. But Middies from Creighton, Ryan Middies, was named the MVP on the offensive side. But there was a lot of excitement in the game. Ryan Middies got one stripped out of his hands, returned 99 yards by Garrett Borcher from Pawnee City. And then he said, that's enough of that, and scored the next time. So there you go.
I think it's a good time. And now coming up, we'll have the Nebraska-Kansas battle that we've had in the past, the 8-man game. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Also, a couple of recruits over the weekend have given their oral commitment to Nebraska. One of them, long snapper. What's going on here? Gabe Miller. This is from all the sites out there. He was at the Big Red Weekend event. We talked about that with Sam McEwen on Friday. And they said that they needed a good long snapper. P.J. Mangieri is the guy that is been doing it the last 4 years, and Gabriel Miller, according to the sources, ranked 3rd nationally among long snappers. Okay, I'm sorry. How the hell do you rate a long snapper? Stopwatches, blocking ability.
I know it's a specialized position, and when you can turn the field over or the punt, I understand the importance of that.
He also had an offer from Eastern Michigan.
Now we're scholarshipping long snide. Whatever. Let them go. They get paid a hell of a lot more than I do.
And Nathan Gary from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Sammy Kuhn said this would be a kid that would be a great kid, and he commits over the weekend. Said he wanted to tell Coach Pelini face-to-face, even though he didn't meet him until this last weekend when he was at the Big Red Weekend camp. He had a ton of offers, including Iowa and Michigan State.
Well, he's big. That's why. 6'2", 210 pounds. I think this is a kid they targeted early and wanted him.
Well, there you go. Can't do any better than that. Have you had a busy weekend? How was Father's Day? You told me you were busy doing whatever it is you do. You're getting ready for TD Shack 32 to open. You're moving gorillas. It's been busy. You needed a little rest, and you had so many things to watch last night. How'd you do it?
Well, I kicked back in my Bruce Furniture Recliner, Holdridge, Hastings, Alliance. They've got it all for you.
Kearney,
too. They're waiting for you. Mike's down here waiting for you. They've got to take a picture of your old used furniture. I mean, not the stuff you're going to throw in a hole, but it's in good shape. Take a picture of it, bring it in, check it out. They'll give you some value for it. No sense. And then they'll take it away for you. Then they'll replace it with the new stuff.
And it's a good day to go shopping, too, because it's nice and air-conditioned in the Bruce Furniture showroom.
That will help. High 98 or 99 today. Oh, yeah. Just Bruce Furniture, just right for you. Get out there. Check them out today. They had the big Serta mattress sale a week ago. Ask them what they've got on sale this week, because they're constantly rolling stuff through there.
We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Huge announcement coming up on the program. Stay with us.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. We develop trust in the people we know. But you don't really know somebody when you can't see them. That can be a tough hurdle in business, with employees and clients around the country or around the globe. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. I've used it. A simple online meeting service with group HD video helps you get better connected to the people you depend on for your success. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team or clients in real time from anywhere in the world, even on the go from an iPad. You build trust, confidence, makes meetings more personal, and in my opinion, more effective. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. My listeners can try it free for a month, 30 days. Don't wait. Special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Colin. Be sure to use the promo code Colin. We develop trust in the people we know. You need to see them.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Now's the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 9th through the 12th in Kearney. Sign up by going to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2012 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Every June, the eyes of the college baseball world focus on Omaha. Perennial powers like Florida, Florida State, South Carolina, UCLA, and of course, Stony Brook. Stony Brook?
Playoffs?
Yes. The Stony Brook Seawolves may steal the cool factor this year. Just when we all got used to making horned frog thingies with our hands. Kevin Kugler with the call. Beginning this week, the College World Series on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Wrapping things up on a Monday Doug and Daddy Show here, taking you up to the lunch hour. Hope you're not eating lunch, because this will make you sick. But the prosecution arresting its case in the Sandusky trial. whole deal is very, very disturbing, and I know a lot of people haven't read much about it because it is that disturbing. But nonetheless, the prosecution has wrapped up their side of the case in the Sandusky sex abuse trial. So
sick.
Not
good. Hopefully it's over, taken care of. Ugh. Rough deal. Hey, I want to mention this for all you boogity boogities out there. Oh, yeah, Junior got a win yesterday. Been 143 races, but old Dale Earnhardt Jr. got a win. Congratulations. Can't forget that. We had U.S. Open, Miami, Oklahoma City. We had the College World Series, but there you go. Dale Earnhardt Jr. gets the win. If you missed it at the top of the show, Kerry Hofstetter is the new head women's basketball coach at Hastings College. Florida plays Kent State. South Carolina plays Arkansas. That doubleheader from the College World Series is today on ESPN Radio. Our pregame begins at 3:40. A little golf going on at Kearney Country Club today. Meadowlark Hills tomorrow. It's the annual Junior Golf Classic that is going on as well. So that, and one more time, the Cornhusker State Games, they offer you that early registration discount. Well, today's the day. If you register by midnight, you save money on individual and team entries. You can go to CornhuskerStateGames.com for more information. CornhuskerStateGames.com for more information. High school rodeo finals are this week in Hastings at the Adams County Fairground, Wednesday through Saturday. They always have a ton of high schoolers. Hopefully it's a little cooler. This would not be a good day to be outside in the jeans and the long sleeve shirts doing rodeo activities.
No, but I think the rest of the week looks to be in the low 80s at least until Saturday, and then it gets hotter in the Bogongas the next week. But
a little better. And John Feynman, a lot of the folks will maybe a little older than us will know that Feynman was the starting quarterback the first time that Bob Devaney coached the football game at Nebraska, and he was the head football coach at Bellevue West and died of an apparent heart attack over the weekend at 71. According to Stu Pospisil's article, they believe he was the oldest coach to ever lead a football team to the state playoffs here when he was 70 years of age. He coached at David City. He was at McCook, Omaha South. He was with Warren Powers, ex-NU assistant at Washington State. Of course, they beat Nebraska when they were there. Then he followed him to Missouri. He was on the staff that won there. He was also an offensive coordinator at Utah and was so many other places, Kansas State. He was all over the place. So he was the original Bob Crocker. I think he was at more places than Croc. He coached Dave Remington at Omaha South, Eric Strickland and Cluster Johnson at Bellevue West. I mean, a lot of folks knew John Feynman, who passed away over the weekend.
A lot of wins for him as well to go with all the accolades. But congratulations, Coach. It was a great career, and I'm sure his life will be celebrated because of the people he impacted.
I think we're going to have a great Troutman's Tuesday trivia question tomorrow. And it has to deal with one of your favorite sports, football. So
I like your style.
That's tomorrow. We've got some special guests that we're going to be tracking down. Coach Hofstetter, have her on. You got more MMA coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, Stephen Bonner. People, you recognize him from MMA, UFC MMA. He's one of the big boys of the sport. He's coming to RFA on June 30th. He will be in attendance with the likes of John the Bones Jones, from what we understand. So get your tickets today.
He's just attending, not fighting, right?
Yes, he's just one of those people that's going to be shaking hands. You know, it's awesome if you got kids that are fans of the sport. He'll, I'm sure, go out of his way to make them feel special and give an autograph, shake a hand, take a picture.
Get over here and sit on my lap, sweet baby.
There's so many things going on.
Where'd you find that at?
Oh, it's you know. Oh, by the way, we came across this. What's in your garden? How's that going?
Pick my first tomato, Douglas.
I got a row of lettuce. I got two rows of onions, which look great. And then my four rows of potatoes.
Anything else?
No. My peppers died. I don't know if I didn't do what I did with the peppers, but my tomatoes, I can grow tomatoes this year, so I'm proud of that.
You know, we've been going over a lot of things looking back because we've been telling folks there's a major announcement that we're making here on the Doug and Daddy Show here today. The biggest announcement in the history of the Doug and Daddy Show. There has never been in the, 6 months that we've been doing this show, a bigger announcement on the Doug and Daddy Show. But Daddy said, this is the day we should bring it up. This is the day we should announce it. This is the day we should talk about it. And we told folks at the end of the show we would tell them about this big announcement. And so I will let you because that's what I do. I let you make all the big announcements. So you can let the folks in on the big announcement, and then are you Twittering this? Or have you tweeted this?
No,
I'm
not
tweeting this right after the show.
I have so few followers that there'll be no tweeting going on. I don't think anybody probably cares about that, but I don't know how big of an announcement is.
It's a huge announcement, because this way, when the phone rings between 11 and 1205, you'll be able to answer it for the people that didn't have any idea what you did.
They're very, very true on that. Doug and Daddy Show, I have actually taken a position with an insurance company and am going to resign or stop doing the Doug and Daddy Show. And next week, I will wrap things up. I'm going to go... Well, when I found this out, I gave him about 3.5 weeks, because I didn't want to just say, I'll see you next Friday.
I didn't
tell Doug. Doug's the only one that didn't know, but I told the boss. So effective next Thursday will be the last Doug and Daddy Show. I'm not leaving. Nobody's dying. Nobody's sick. We've had a nice deal. It's just a deal for me that I couldn't pass up. Next, the 28th, will be my last Doug and Daddy Show.
And that doesn't mean it's the end of the Doug and Daddy Show, although I'm sure it will be in a very near future. But we will continue the show on. But Daddy is moving on. He is stepping aside. He says he will never come on the show again because he's too big for us now.
No, I never said
and
that.
And we'll be making kabillions of dollars.
Right. We're going to Oregon, then we're going to Washington, then we're going to California. Yeah!
So that'll be it. So
next Thursday. I don't know how big of an announcement that is.
Biggest one ever.
Well,
folks, I mean, you've got till next Thursday to email the show, to call the show, to give your regards to Daddy. I'm even going to take a couple days off because I guess I have to now. So that you can have a couple of full days in there to just set aside to tell Daddy that you wish him well and can't wait till he's a television star or whatever it is he's going to be. By the way, did you see this David Nalbandian thing? He kicks the chair. He kicks a cardboard Nike thing and gets thrown out of a tournament. This is the finals over in London. They're getting ready for Wimbledon. He gets frustrated. He kicks. They have the Nike boards around the lines judge. Well, he kicks it and it cuts the leg of the lines judge, who is just a dork. And now they are investigating this as an assault complaint. And they threw him out. That was the end of the match. They made him forfeit for kicking that board.
What's the deal with the Wimbledon trophies? What's going on with that, making a big deal about that on SportsCenter?
I haven't heard that at all. I don't know, but there you go. They say any member of the public who witnessed the event in person or on television could make a complaint, as could the line judge himself, who tournament directors said that the judge received first aid care but needed no further treatment after seeing a doctor. Nalbandian, temper got the best of him.
Well, unbelievable. I want to thank Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, along with Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.